Kidventures. Where will your next trip take you?
Hi, this is Ting from My Travel Monkey.
And Kathy from Mummy Travels.
And for this episode of the Kids Adventures Family Travel Podcast, we're chatting all about van life. Now, as listeners know, this is something which has been on my mind a lot over the past couple of years.
And so we have got two special guests this week, both van life experts. Katie Stern, who writes the family travel blog Otis and Us, and Jenny Lynn from Travelling Family. So hi both, and thank you for chatting to us today. To start off, as a non-van life convert, yes, there are some of us still out there. Why is van life so amazing? Convince me.
Oh, well, hello, guys, and thanks for welcoming us onto the show. Why is van life amazing? It's your home on wheels. That's what it is, your home on wheels. It's the freedom to take your home wherever you want, and it's part of your family. And especially if you've got young kids, it's the familiarity with where they're going to be staying each night rather than rocking up to a new hotel and checking it all out. You know exactly how it is, and it's fun. It is super, super fun.
Yeah, I think it's nice that you can have all your things ready packed in the van, check the weather out, Friday night, last minute, get in the van, go somewhere. And it's that freedom, isn't it, of just being able to go anywhere, whenever you want to. And there's not that much organisation. If your van's packed, you can go. Bit of food, off you go.
That does sound good. Yeah, the whole freedom to go anywhere thing is, I think, definitely hitting home right now.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, we've got the bongo all ready to go. As soon as Boris gives the green light, we can go. Like, the bongo is all packed, all the cutlery's in there. We just need to grab some clothes, a toothbrush, and maybe a meal for the first night, and we're sorted. So I think because we've got our bongo, we can be very flexible in this crazy year of uncertainty.
I think that's what's always appealed to me, exactly what you've just said there, guys, about just having the freedom to go anywhere. And I suppose what I wondered, though, is what actually made you, you know, make that decision. It's a big decision to make because obviously it's quite a lot of financial commitment to get a van. So what made you both decide, yes, we're going to do it? Katie?
Yeah, so for me, we bought our van 8 years ago, and my best friends are in Cornwall, and we go down there a lot, and they had a camper van that they'd converted. They had a T4. And every time we went down there, they were like, guys, you can do this. You know, you just get a van and convert it, and, you know, made it look really easy. And we had our eldest, Martha, and she two at the time. And we just decided that we wanted to have as many holidays as we could, as often as we could. And we wanted to grab the weekends and the holidays that we weren't working. So for us, we got the van because we wanted to have as many holidays. And it's expensive, isn't it, with children?
Yeah.
And that was, it was that. It was going down to Cornwall and seeing the life of our friends that they were going every weekend, they were just camping somewhere. And we wanted that. So we came home and we didn't know anything about van life particularly, or what camper vans to get, or how to do it. It was really spur of the moment for us. We went on the hunt for a van and didn't look back.
Jenny?
Well, actually, we're completely the opposite end of the scale. We're one of those COVID campers, really. We're one of the ones that the pandemic hit and we bought a camper. And for me, all me saying before about having a camper is all about freedom. One of the reasons we didn't get a camper for so long is because actually we felt restricted if we had a camper. Our style of travel is flying off to offbeat destinations. And with the kids in school, we didn't want to be constrained to how far we could travel in our camper during the school holidays and feeling like, oh, we've got the camper on the drive, or maybe we shouldn't get that flight to Bangkok. And so for a long time, I always liked the idea of a camper. I mean, Jay and I hired a camper years ago and traveled around in New Zealand. And we always said, oh, this is so amazing. And when we did our big Africa trip, obviously that was in a Land Rover with roof tents. And I suppose that's a type of van as well. And we've always liked it. And it always seemed to me to be a nice to have. And when we moved back to UK, when we did our European long-term trips, we would actually put a tent in the back of the car and make do. But the pandemic hit, we had big travel plans and we had money saved. And I think the realization came that our style of travel wasn't going to happen for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And we've got this money that was going to go to a big trip. Maybe now's the time to get a camper, but we were really limited in costs and the prices were outrageous, and even more so now they are. And for us, we took the plunge, found a bungo on eBay, and we haven't really gone very far in him yet at all. But for us, it was the case that it's our home on wheels, and it just means that we can pop over to across the channel when we can and go wherever we want and have the freedom closer to home.
So tell me a little bit about your campers. Now, for people like me, assume I know nothing except that this has wheels, you can drive it and sleep in it. You know, I need to know all the basics. How big are these? What have you got in it? You know, how does it work?
Oh, well, both Katie and I have typical campers. So they're not massive at all. Our thing was that we'd want something that we'd be able to drive down country lanes. And we also wanted a four-wheel drive, which is one of the reasons why we went for a bongo. But in the roof comes up, so the kids can sleep up in the roof. Mm-hmm. We've got something called a rock and roll bed in the middle. So the back seats where the kids sleep, that rolls out and Jay and I sleep on there. It has a small little kitchenette and a sink with water and gas hooked up and lots of little cupboards. So space is really, really tight. But for us, that's all we need and works perfectly for us. And yeah, mine is a Mazda Bongo.
So we've got a VW T5. When we bought it, it's a little bit different because when we bought it, it was a builder's van. It was a panel van. And we spent all of our money on the van itself. So we had to just save and get little bits done. So ours has been a real labor of love, and we're not very hands-on. So we've had to take it places to get it bits done. Ours has just been a real journey. We have units in there, but we made the decision at the time to not have a cooker in our camper van. Paul wanted to cook outside. He wanted to cook outside. So we never had a cooker put in our van. We've got a fridge. We've got, you know, our front seats turn. The last addition was having the pop top roof because the kids sleep up there. We've got the same as Jenny, rock and roll bed. We've got some little, you know, we've got TV in there for the kids for the road trips and the journeys. So if I was going to convert it again, I probably would have a cooker and a sink. But at the time, we just had the units and the fridge because we thought that was the one thing that we needed. So yeah, space is tight, the same. You have to be really clever with the storage, and it's our home on wheels. We love it.
And what do you do? This is my big question, and this is always the thing that puts me off camping. What do you do about toilets and staying clean and all of this? You know, you've got your home on wheels. Are you telling me you're still going to trek out to a bush or a wash block in the middle of the night?
Oh, well, I've got an advantage in that I've got two boys. Okay, so they've got willies. And if you've got a child with a willy, life is easier, because what we have is we have a fabric conditioner bottle that you use for your clothes washing. Well, you did ask. I'm giving it all to you.
This long for explicit content.
So they have their fabric conditioner, and the thing is, it has the smell of the fabric conditioner in there that covers up the urine, and also the hole is big enough for any size, and it has a proper screw top lid so it can't come out. Now, you asked on continuing. I have a shiwi. The problem with the shiwi, if you've had children, if you had a few beers, it can get a bit awkward. You've got to be quick in there with the shiwi.
This is why I don't go camping.
And then for number two,
shiwis are awful. Horrible.
I'm wishing I never asked.
No, Kathy, I can't stop crying. I'm actually
Yeah, for number twos, well, actually. In all honesty, we do tend to stay at campsites where you have the facilities, in all honesty. And especially in places like France, their facilities are absolutely outstanding and it's really, really lovely. This is more if you're wild camping or like with the restrictions in place that you have to have your own facilities. We've been with a pop-up tent and like a makeshift toilet, which is basically a seat with a bin liner for number twos and sawdust.
Selling this, Jen. So always go to campsites with facilities. And we've got a little, so it depends. If we're going away for like a weekend and there's no facilities, we've got like a little travel toilet that you can take with you. Obviously, when the kids are younger, we had this little fold away potty.
That's just a bag underneath.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got that for the kiddies. And depending, you know, if you're going somewhere and you take your awning, that's great. Or you can get like the, you know, you can get the little tents now, you know, the shower tents and the toilet tents that everybody's buying. I'm sure they'll go out of stock in a month's time when everybody needs their own facilities. But yeah, I haven't got a Chiwi, Jenny.
Oh my God, you can pick them up from Amazon for like a tenner.
Or fabric stuff in a bottle. I don't have one of those either.
I love the fact that you said the fabric conditioner covers the smell of pee. That's just, I want that as a quote from you, Jenny. Camping, use an old Lenore bottle, works.
Jenny, these are the Instagram reels that you need to do. Yeah. I mean,
I just say it how it is.
Well, I'm going to say, so, you know, I've been dreaming about having a van and following in your footsteps, both of you, for ages. But I don't know whether what I envisage is my perfect van life holiday with the kids and, you know, us driving around beautiful places in France or Spain and versus the actual reality of being in a van. Because I'm not a big camper and I like my own space as well. So is that true? Will my reality be as what I'm imagining it to be? Or do you think there are stressful times or are there moments where you're like, but I suppose with a van you can leave it, can't you, depending where you are, and set up a tent somewhere else if it all gets too much?
I think you change your way of thinking. So when you're really busy, you know that everything takes much longer when you're in the van. You know, if you need to wash your dishes, it's not a 5-minute job. If you need to shower, you take it in turns. And you really embrace sounds a bit of a cliche, but you really embrace that like slow living. You don't jam pack loads of things into your day because you know things take a bit longer. And your journeys, you know, everyone knows that you can have pretty harsh road trips with kids, can't you? Sometimes they're just really horrendous journeys. But I think when you go in the van, I seem to kind of, in my head, I think the journey's part of the trip.
Yeah,
you really embrace the journey and make loads of stops and find pretty places to stop. And you might, where you're rushing to get somewhere because you might have to, you know, get a plane or a ferry. I think you know that it might take you ages. Like it's taken us like 10 hours to get to Scotland before because we stopped so much and we didn't have like a 5-minute stop. We'd stop for an hour and a half and let the kids paddle in the stream and then we'd get. So I think you change your way of thinking. Does that make sense? Do you agree, Jenny?
Yeah, I totally agree. Everything takes much longer, and it's with anything in life. As soon as you try and rush things, you get stressed and then you don't enjoy it. But also similarly, I think it's with any sort of travel with kids, it's a practiced affair. With getting the camper, don't rush off and drive to Morocco in your first week. It's like, park on the driveway, make sure the roof comes up, make sure you know how to use and plug in the gas, do all those things. You can also fall into the trap. I mean, we've done it before where you get it to a campsite and literally your camper farts everything out. Like everything from inside the camper just gets littered everywhere. And it comes to the morning of leaving and you're like, how is everything all over the place? And it's like, you have to stay tidy. You have to keep on top of things all the time. You have to keep it clean. I've got this little dustpan and brush. I'm constantly trying to sweep sand off. And I'm like to the kids, don't go in with your shoes all the time. I'm not like that at all in my house. Honestly, if you saw my house, it's an absolute mess. But when it comes to the bongo, I am so panicky about everything and making sure everything has its place. Yeah. Because then it just works. And I think, yeah, a huge thing is just don't rush things. And also the idea of like, yes, you can jump in and go wherever you want. Not in the UK. Wild camping is illegal in the UK. And that was a huge issue last summer with vans, because I'm in the Peak District, vans parking at all different lay-bys. Derbyshire police were knocking on the window saying, and issuing fines. Campsites booked out way in advance. So yes, we're talking a lot about, oh, you have the freedom to go where you want, but actually in the UK, it's not actually that easy. Scotland, wild camping is absolutely fine. That's a lot easier to do up there. And I think also we need to talk about the British weather as well with a camper in the UK, because that also adds a stress. And it's one of the reasons why we as a family prefer going to the continent, because it's just easier with the camper when the kids are just wearing shorts, the sun's shining and nothing's getting wet. As soon as things get wet, oh, it's the mud's getting in the van. You can't be out, because that's the thing with the size of our campers. You're not living in the camper. You're living outside.
Yeah.
The camper is where is your wardrobe and your beds, but you're living outside the entire time. And as soon as that's taken away, that's when it becomes stressful and not enjoyable, really.
I'm glad you've been honest about that. That's so true. Because, you know, in my head, I've always been thinking, it's outside, it's warm, it's hot. But no, obviously, in England, it could be peeing down with rain and really cold. And then...
negative side. Like, we went away last year and managed to catch a weekend. And it was the time when there was all the gales. And it was... horrendous. The weather, I have never in my life camped in so much mud. And we had the driveway awning, which was like blowing everywhere. And it was squishing, the mud was squishing underneath. Like, you couldn't even step out. You had to like have your wellies right there. I have never. And then packing everything up, just packing that awning up. And it was a swamp. I've never seen like it. So yeah, you're right, Jenny, there is those the good British weather.
You're right, and it's the packing away as well. It's like when everything's wet, you're just getting covered in wet and mud. And the problem is, when you get home, you've got to get it all out again to dry it, otherwise you're wrecking your equipment. Whereas in France, it does rain in France, but generally the weather, especially further down south, it's more reliable. And when it comes to packing away, we try and pack as much away we can the night before. So in the morning, we can get an early start because we've got the bongo and it's an old machine and we don't push it. But we're washing down the rugs. We're sweeping things away. So when things are packed away nicely, it's all about looking after your equipment. So next time round. But you're right, Katie, when everything's all muddy and soggy.
While we're keeping it real, and talking about the things which aren't so great, costs, because I know over the last year, you know, a lot of people have gone, fans, great idea, let's buy them. So obviously prices have spiked. And, you know, hopefully as things relax a bit, that will come down a bit more again. But if you're thinking about the money, we're all thinking about the money, you know, what are your tips on things like thinking about which kind of van to buy? You know, should you get your own? Should you be doing it up yourself? Should you be hiring someone to make your perfect van? Should you just go, this is way too much work, and buy a van which is all done already? What do you reckon, Katie?
The only way that we could afford our van was to buy a van and slowly do it up. And that's why it's been a labour of love. I would hate to think how much we've actually spent over the years, because we did it that way, and because we had to save £500 and get a window, save a bit more, get the bed. We've had to undo some of the stuff that we did. You know, we might have had to we did the pop top roof last, so we had to have it refelted again, having already paid for the felting. So I would actually hate to think how much we've spent. Although I would still argue that it's less than buying a van ready done. And we've chosen what we want in it. We haven't bought a van that's had things in that we perhaps wouldn't use. We've picked everything that we thought at the time we would want or need or use. You know, we had things like a heater. You know, I don't think that's standard in a van, but we knew that we were going to holiday in the UK and we'd need a heater, you know, especially if we wanted to holiday kind of all year round. but I never see it that we've spent loads of money, because I just think it's memories. It doesn't matter how much we spent. We wanted to make those memories. We wanted the van. But I definitely think it's cheaper. I don't know, because Jenny, yours was already converted, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't necessarily try and get a converted one. I mean, the big reason we got a Bongo, not going on to the Bongo T5 argument too soon, but the Bongo is a lot cheaper. And that's more why we went down the Bongo route, and also because we wanted a four-wheel drive, just because of the type of places we like to go to. I was very lucky in that my father-in-law knows his stuff with mechanics, and if we'd gone straight to a conversion company, we would have been looking about 15 grand, but we only had 7 grand, and he found our Bongo on eBay, and it had this crazy lightning strike. I don't know if you remember that. Had a crazy lightning strike down the side, and actually we'd done a lot of research into what we'd want to do to the Bongo, and the conversion they had already in with the side conversion and the rock and roll beds, that is actually what we figured we'd want to do anyway. So I feel very lucky that we managed to find it on eBay, and we drove over to Norfolk Way, and this really lovely couple who were working with the church sold us this Bongo with a lightning stripe down the side. And as for the, I mean, we did spend money on then fixing the AFT, which is the roof, removing the lightning strike, and we've probably spent another grand and a half on top of that. So yeah, they can be expensive, but we've actually started using the Bongo as an everyday car. Yeah. So we used to drive a Citroen Picasso, which was our main car. But in all honesty, that was on its last legs, and we were going to get rid of it anyway, because we can put the bike rack on the back of the Bongo. So it's our car when we're doing longer trips down to Kent and down to the family. So that's kind of cancelled out the cost for us as well. What we want to do with the Bongo is travel a lot around Europe. By all means, it'll be a lot cheaper just chucking a tent in the back of a car, but it's not as fun, not as easy.
You'd have to sleep in a tent then as well. So, you know, yeah, let's do that.
Oh, Kathy, one day I'll get you in a tent. I will do.
I've done some costings as well, having looked at second, and I'd be going down Katie's route totally, because I couldn't afford to buy a decked out one. But, you know, in my head, it's like 4 or 5 grand for a van, an old panel van. It would be someone's old work van, I imagine, and then maybe 4 or 5 to do it up. So yeah, you're looking at about 10 grand in my head.
That sounds about right. And yeah, I think what's important with conversions as well is that, or with the vans, is that every van is unique to that family. And I do know a lot of people who they have the van for a year and they end up using the van in a different way than they thought they'd use it as well. And think you're always tweaking it with the van. I mean, we've had it with ours as well. Even though we had the side conversion, it's like, no, I've got the paint out, I've put some tiles for it. And there's always little tweaks that you want to do to it anyway. So the thought of these people, wish you can afford it, it's great, but buying the new VWs for like 60k, they're all, I mean, they look incredible, they really do, and I wouldn't say no if I could afford it. But part of the fun is tweaking it and making it your own as well. So that's why I agree with Katie, really, is that it would be lovely to do a total conversion, but then it's time, and the conversion companies are packed out. If you're looking this year, you're not going to be able to get any conversions happening on your van until next year.
Unless you're going to make your husband do it and watch YouTube videos.
I think awesome. As well, as the van evolves with you, doesn't it? I think like when we had our van and Martha was 2, we didn't want to cook her and things in there because she was like a climbing toddler, and we thought, well, we're going to cook outside. The kids are older now and our trips have changed. So I think now I would add a cooker and I'd add a sink so that they could brush their teeth. You don't have to find facilities for that. So I think as the years go on and your needs change, your kind of van evolves with that, doesn't it? And you can add bits and tweak it. And we did the same as Jenny. We got rid of our car, so we used the van as our everyday school run, because that was the way that we could afford to do it, is to have it as our everyday car.
And a question that I'm really interested in, so insurance, you have to get special insurance, right, for a camper van?
Me personally, we've always gone with a broker or a company that specializes in vans and van conversions, especially if you're planning to do work on the van. We've always paid for specialised kind of van insurance. How about you, Jenny?
I didn't research that question. I was just hoping Katie would be able to answer. That's not the fun bit of van life. I don't know. That husband deals with that one. Don't know. Yeah. No, sorry. No idea. But insurance is a must, kids. Don't travel without insurance.
Right. We are getting away from the fun, aren't we? Come on. Right. Tell me about your favourite travel experiences in your lovely vans. Jenny, go on, tell us, give us some fun.
Well, I could give you lots of, but the thing with us, because we're a COVID camper buyer, we haven't really gone very far. The driveway's been fantastic. We're lucky to live in the Peak District with loads of fields around us. That's been wonderful, the driveway. And we've also gone to camping a la grandparents on their driveway. No, we did go over to France last year. We had to quarantine for 2 weeks on the way back, and my word, that was bliss, because we put the bikes on the back, so we've got a tow bar and the four bikes go on the back, drive down to France, rock up at a campsite, we get the awnings out, and the camper becomes our base. We use the bikes to cycle off to a chateau or to a vineyard or to a beach, and then come back, swim in the pool, and it was the easy life. It was real. So far, because we've only really had that one trip, I have to say last year's France trip, but we do hope to take him further.
Katie, how about you? You've taken yours. You've taken over.
That's a toughie. We did the west coast of France into Spain and got the ferry back from Spain. And that was pretty special, because you've got the campsites are like nothing else and the weather's incredible. And it was summer holidays in France, and we had a big chunk of holidays. So I just felt like we were in the van for ages. So that was lovely. Scotland, we did a week in Scotland, and that was amazing. That was probably one of our first road trips, actually, with the kids. We didn't book anywhere. We'd got the girls, and we got in them on the motorway, and I just look in the direction and booked a campsite, and we went everywhere. We went to Dorset, Devon, Cornwall, and then the weather was really bad, so we came back, left it a day at home, and then went to the Lake District. And it was kind of over about 2.5 weeks, and we didn't book a single campsite until we were like on our way. It was real chasing the sun, kind of, and that's really special. I've got really lovely memories of that.
That's like a proper adventure, isn't it?
Yeah, that was lovely. And I think because it wasn't the school holidays, it's changed now. Because it wasn't the school holidays, we could just get in the van and not, I was like Googling places while we were on the motorway. Oh, this looks nice. Let's just turn up there. And we managed to get in all the campsites. It was lovely. So that was special.
God, it sounds perfect. Because that's the other thing I say about the UK. You just got to book loads in advance. But we had that in France last year, in that because we got the ferry over to France literally 6 hours after Boris said quarantine, we went and we were booking our first night's campsite on the way and then camped there that night. And then we booked in. So I do find once you're across the continent as well, it's very easy. And we've had it years before as well. It's very easy to then more go with the flow as well. I mean, we've got this massive dream. I really want to drive the Bongo down to Morocco. Really want to do.
You'll do it.
Well, you've just beat my question, because I was going to say, what do you fancy doing?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, drive. So we always do the Dover-Calais crossing, because my folks are down in Kent. Drive down through France and Spain, go get the ferry over to Morocco. I mean, we've taken the kids to Morocco quite a few times. It really is an incredible destination for families. Honestly, it's one of my top three. It's brilliant, just because of the diversity and the roads are great, and they've now got a lot of campsites popping up in Morocco as well. And then drive back through Portugal and back. That's my dream trip that I want to do at the moment. Maybe 2059, we'll see.
Where would we like to go? Hebrides, I'd like to do that. Or Switzerland, we'd like to do Switzerland. And we've got a little puppy now to plan our adventures with. We need to think about this.
You have to get a pet passport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look into all this. But to be honest, just moving the van off the drive for something other than school run is going to be incredible. I don't care where we go. Anywhere. 10 metres down the road. Don't care. Honestly.
Anyway. Well, we'll look forward to seeing what you guys get up to in your van life adventures. I follow you both very closely anyway, because I want to join in one day.
You will. You'll get
you
one.
Will. We'll see you on the road. We'll see. But if I mean, don't forget, the bongo is better than the T5. Just getting that in the end there, okay?
Well, I was just, we're going to finish. So you think the bongo is better than the T5. Why, Jenny?
Because there is the four-wheel drive option that is a hell of a lot cheaper. Getting parts is cheaper as well. Also, when you break down overseas, there are companies that will fly the parts out of you to a garage to fix it up as well. And it's just what the cool kids will drive, really.
Katie?
I would say the VW is cool, Jen. And we're a family of five with a dog. So definitely VW,
a little bit bigger.
And I would argue that it holds its value.
Yeah, as does the bongo. And you know, actually, Katie is right. The one thing where the VW is better is the fact if you're a family of five, it fits in, because with the bongo, the engine is at the front in between the two passenger seats. You can't put in an extra seat. So yes, if you're a family of five, unfortunately, you do have to go for the VW unless you want to tie one of your kids to the top. Otherwise, it's the bongo, kids.
Oh, I love this. This has been brilliant. Thank you so much, Katie and Jenny, for joining us on Adventures.
Thank you for having us.
You've just whet my appetite even more now for wanting to get a van. So I will make my husband sell his motorbikes.
I will enjoy watching your adventure. And I will never, never be able to get the image of that fabric conditioner bottle out of my head.
Buy Lenore, kids, and keep the bottle.
Do, 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 do. See you again soon for the next kid venture. Do, 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 do.